Well, good afternoon. We will call this meeting of the Reedley Planning Commission to order for Thursday, February the 3rd, 2011, at about 5:02, 5:03. And our first order of business is to stand up now that we've sat down and pledge allegiance to the flag.
Now, attention.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, second order of business is to ask Ms. Francis to call the roll.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Clemens?
Here.
Commissioner Barker?
Here.
Chairman Nord?
Chairman Nord is excused absence for recovery from a new knee. So we wish him well. Okay, next piece of business is for the public comment section for any of the public that's here for non-agenda related items. And seeing none, we'll move forward. Next piece is number one, our consent agenda for our last meeting, which was January the 20th. And we'll ask fellow commissioners if they have any comments, and then ask for your blessing on that by making a motion for approval.
I would move that we approve that consent agenda.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you. Call for the question, please.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Clemens?
Yes. Okay, and now we're to the public hearing for our primary item this evening, which is a 90-foot high multi-carrier communication tower. And we'll turn that over to Rob at this point for our staff report, please.
Vice Chair Clemens, Planning Commissioners, thank you. Before us tonight, we have a negative declaration of environmental impacts for communications tower project, variance number 2010-2 and conditional use permit number 461 in conjunction with site plan review 325-1010. The applicant is requesting a variance from the 75-foot building height maximum within the CC, Central and Community Commercial Zone District, to allow for a 90-foot high unmanned multi-communications tower. The style of the tower is a monopole tower. The applicant is also requesting a conditional use permit for placement of this 90-foot high unmanned tower and an accompanying 70 by 30-foot fenced equipment area on APN 370-03048 and an access and utility easements on the adjacent APM, which is APN 370-03049. The tower itself is designed to accommodate up to four wireless carriers. Currently, the area in which the development is being proposed is used as the parking lot behind the former Kmart store. Eight parking stalls will be permanently displaced by this proposed development, six of them due to the structure placement, and two of them due to the removal and replacement of two ADA-compliant parking stalls. They will be relocated adjacent to the development site. The ADA stalls will be relocated. No changes to drainage or to lighting of the site are being proposed, and existing utility easements on the site are not proposed to be changed. The 70 by 30 enclosure area proposed as part of the project consists of a 7-foot high by 8-inch thick split face wall painted with anti-graffiti paint color matching the existing commercial retail building to the north. Within the enclosed area are a 20-foot by 11-foot equipment shelter, which is proposed to be at the north end of the site. The proposed location of the tower is adjacent to this equipment shelter. Distribution equipment is proposed to be located between the two access gates on the west side of the split face wall on the inside of the perimeter. And the site will be signed with proper radio frequency signing and warnings as required by law. Ground cover throughout the enclosed area not occupied by the 20 by 11 foot structure is proposed to be of 3/4 crushed stone base. For staff analysis, first we'll look at the variance, variance number 2010-2. The applicant, of course, is requesting variance from the 75-foot building height to allow for a 90-foot high tower. Reedley Municipal Code 10212 states that the Board of Zoning Adjustment or the Planning Commission may grant variances to regulations within the municipal code with respects to heights of structures via public hearing if there are special circumstances or conditions applicable to the property involved such that strict or literal interpretation and enforcement of the specified regulation would deprive the applicant of privileges enjoyed by owners of other properties classified in that same zone district, or if the granting of the variance will not constitute a grant of special privileges inconsistent with limitations on other properties classified in the vicinity and in the same zone district. Allowed within the conditional use permit process is the procedure to place such items as communications equipment, which also would apply to any type of wireless carrier infrastructure. As items such as cell phones, GPS, different wireless items like that have become more commonplace in our daily lives, we're seeing an increase in needed infrastructure to accommodate the uses. The design of the infrastructure itself in the recent past has also started to change. In the past, typically any type of radio towers or towers of this site would have been a large A-frame type of building, large at the base, going to a pyramid triangle near the top. We're now seeing with different types of infrastructure, typically monopole design, which has a just as strong base but not as large at the bottom, and typically round instead of more of a rectangular or a cube type of design. The reason why the applicant is requesting a 90-foot tower to exceed 15 feet over what is the maximum in the zone district at this time is because a minimum of 52 to 54 feet of ground clearance is needed from the lowest antenna point to attain a reliable wireless signal. For poles containing multiple antennas, the distance between these antennas needs to be 10 to 12 feet minimum. Therefore, the minimum height of a four-carrier cell phone tower will range in between 82 and 90 feet. Four major carriers, AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, and T-Mobile, currently offer service to residents of the city of Reedley. Co-location of these wireless infrastructure needs onto one tower will allow the avoidance of building multiple towers in multiple places throughout town, adding the availability of all four antennas to be on one monopole. Staff views the variance request as an appropriate special circumstance to accommodate needed infrastructure to serve the community while minimizing the potential additional impacts of requiring multiple towers to serve this same function throughout the community. In regards to conditional use permit number 461, Reedley Municipal Code 10187 states that the Planning Commission may grant a conditional use permit to an applicant if findings can be made that there are circumstances or conditions applicable to the land, structure, or use which makes the granting of a use permit necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right. Furthermore, Reedley Municipal Code 10251 states that public or quasi-public uses, including communications equipment buildings, are a conditional use within the CC, Central and Community Commercial Zone District. Therefore, approval of CUP 461 will allow for the conditioned placement of such an item as this wireless tower. Approval of the conditional use permit, of course, is contingent upon approval of the variance to allow for the 90-foot tower. As we continue to move forward with our wireless needs as a community, we will see the additional need for infrastructure coming through. Staff feels that this is the first of several requests of this type that we will see for those looking to place infrastructure within the community to keep our need and our desire for wireless capabilities at a high point throughout the community. Regarding the parking stalls, because 8 parking stalls will be permanently displaced with the location of the proposed development, at current, the shopping center as a whole building square footage is approximately 181,400 square feet in size. Commercial retail center parking requirements in the CC zone district require one parking space for every 800 square feet of floor area. At minimum, the main portion of the shopping center would require approximately 230 spaces. Currently, 290 spaces are available on this site. The loss of 8 standard stalls is therefore seen as less than significant and does not bring the overall parking numbers to a level that is seen as below the required minimum. Regarding environmental findings, evaluation number 2010-15 determined that this project will have will not have a significant impact on the environment, and a negative declaration of environmental impacts is adequate. A notice of intent to adopt this negative declaration was distributed to the public and to public agencies for their review and their comment. Attached with the staff report are the comments that we received back. Staff's recommendation regarding the negative declaration, variance number 2010-02, and conditional use permit number 461, are that staff recommends that the Planning Commission certify the negative declaration of environmental impact subject to the findings contained in the attached resolution number 2011-02. They approve variance number 2010-2 subject to the findings and conditions contained in resolution 2011-3, and approve conditional use permit number 461 subject to the findings and conditions contained in resolution number 2011-4. What we're looking at the screen right now is the site vicinity map of the project location. These two red circles here were placed on the map simply because the project site itself is so small that it almost looks like a accessory building behind the structure. This is Manning Avenue right through here. Of course, we have 11th Street, the park right here. This is the commercial retail center, the former Kmart. And the project site is right here in the rear portion of their currently very underused parking area.
That's where there's like an inset, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. This is the actual site plan we're looking at. So this is the 70 by 30 foot enclosure right here, and the 20 foot by 11 foot utility structure on the inside. All of the remaining land within this right here would be the 3/4 inch crushed rock base. This would be the only actual structure other than the antenna itself right here. And then the antenna, you can see the footprint of it is considerably small, and typically the largest impact of the tower is simply going to be its 90-foot height. They have two access gates right here. Of course, we're looking right now, north would be headed up this way right here. So this would be the west side of their project site with the two access gates, electrical panels located in between the two, and as stated in the staff report, the building of the wall itself is 7 foot high, 8 inches thick, split face, and would be anti-graffiti, as well as the slats placed on the fences themselves would be painted to match also with anti-graffiti paint. This shows the displacement of the parking and the relocation that would happen. This bottom section right here shows the entire cross access through this area. And then on the project site, this appears just a zoom in of the actual project site. You can see in their area right through here where the several stalls mentioned in the staff report would be displaced. The two ADA that are in that area would be relocated to this end right here. So no ADA parking would be lost as a result, just the six standard stalls. But as mentioned, parking standards are still easily attained.
It's just west of Big Lots then?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And behind like Sansay and?
Yep, that's exactly where it is.
Okay.
These show the various elevations of the structure and the project site itself. You can see very low profile here, and then of course the 90-foot tower right through here with the antenna showing the high spot for the antennas at the 90-foot mark.
Can you go back one?
Absolutely.
The warning signs are basically radiation voltage.
You know, they're all RF. There will be some signs that are required by law to show that it's very low frequency radiation.
Right.
Anything that's going to be required by state or federal law, of course, would have to be placed on site. There have been numerous studies done in the recent past on the effect of cell phones and whatnot, and they're finding mostly that they don't seem to require more noticing than anything than standard radio would need to require.
Thanks. Any other questions of staff from fellow commissioners?
One thing I had, there will be other antennas below that?
Correct. This,
the top one.
This would just show the high point, the 90-foot point.
The others would be similar in construction, perhaps?
Correct. At At current, the tower would be placed at a 90-foot maximum to allow for up to four carriers. The applicant has a representative here. I believe, if I understood correctly, that there are two currently signed on.
AT&T, just one.
Okay, so just the one right now. And of course, if any of the other three carriers were to come on, or an additional carrier, mm-hmm. and wanted to locate on the monopole, then you'd, about 10 to 12 feet down, you'd see a second, third, fourth.
Okay.
Does the one you have signed on now currently have a tower in Reedley?
I'm not sure if we have another one located nearby. I can find out. But not in this general area. Where
just out of curiosity, who is?
AT&T,
okay. Because I think it would benefit us if we can encourage more use of towers like this, mm-hmm. then we don't have as many to look at.
Absolutely.
You know, and...
Yeah, that's why staff's recommendation would be for approval, simply to eliminate the future need for additional towers. Well, I shouldn't say eliminate, but to lessen the possible need.
You, as the community grows, my understanding of the need for additional infrastructure is, as the community grows and usage increases and the capacity of the devices that are used increases, we would... It may seem counterintuitive, but we're going to see more need for infrastructure. Mm-hmm. The denser the population, the more the use, the more you're going to need to see the infrastructure. We'll need to see possibly AT&T and other service providers will have more than one facility. We do encourage co-location. We don't have anything that requires that, but it seems to take care of itself. They seem to work very well with each other. If there's an available tower, they make space available to them. If there's anything that we could do to help in reducing the overall number of towers, it's accommodating the request for the variance that gets it higher so that you could put as much, as many providers as possible on the one location.
Once you're at 75 feet, I don't know that an additional, 15 feet?
It is in our ordinance, though.
It's not going to make a whole lot of difference as far as visual effects. Is there anything we can do to encourage co-location? You know, we say we don't have it in the ordinance, but is there something we could do maybe to encourage?
We could look into that and maybe try to determine what other communities are doing ordinance-wise that would require co-location. But again, it really does seem to take care of itself, because not just the entitlement process that the providers need to go through, but the cost of the infrastructure. It seems there's this symbiotic relationship where if I've got, they're not going to not compete with each other by not letting them use the same facility. We can analyze what's out there that other communities are doing that can ensure that we co-locate if possible. Usually, when we get contact, they've already made contact with the other cell tower providers, because they have looked. And we always, where possible, offer any opportunity that the city may know of or have. We have water tower projects that we're going to be working on, and they've inquired about whether or not there would be availability of the city's water towers. We, as our own public agency, we have some need for infrastructure ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're going to be using up that space ourselves, so it's not an option for them. Again, we could look for anything that may be able to make it more certain that they'll co-locate.
Right. Well, that was my thought.
Rob, do you have anything else?
No, that concludes staff's report, unless there's any additional questions that you have for us or possibly for the applicant.
Why don't I open up the public hearing, and that way we can have the opportunity for a representative to come. So. At this point, we're opening that public hearing for those in favor or against, and obviously we have one in favor.
Good evening, commissioners. My name's Misako Hill. I represent Vista Towers and DNL Low LP. I'm located at 1075 45th Street in Emeryville, California. I want to thank Rob Terry for his work on the project. I have read the staff report, and we agree with all the conditions of approval. I respectfully request approval of the project, and I am happy to answer any questions that you or staff may have.
Okay, great. Any questions from commissioners?
What color is this tower going to be?
I believe it's going to be a non-reflective gray, but definitely open to, you know, whatever staff wants it to be painted. But I think right now it's non-reflective gray.
Probably typical of the others that are in town, because there's three other monopoles in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have any definite preference, just as unobtrusive as possible.
Yeah, that's typically the color that we try to paint them.
Great, thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
And unless Cheryl has some comments, we don't have anybody else in the audience, correct? So, okay, so we close that portion of the hearing. We turn it back to commissioners to see if you have any other comments. And if not, then we need to entertain a motion for three pieces of
right. Which order
action.
Do we take them?
The proper order would be to certify the negative declaration.
Just like it is,
correct.
A, B, C, and D. And is C actually two pieces that we're going to approve at one time, or do we do the CUP and the site plan review as
All of these are in conjunction with the site plan review itself, so it's not required for the commission to take any action on the site plan review.
Okay, so just for the record, we're taking action on the negative deck first, then the variance, then the CUP.
Correct.
And that's it?
That's it.
Okay. All right. So at this point, we need to entertain some action for the negative declaration, which is resolution number 2011-02.
I would move that we approve resolution number 2011-02.
Okay. So we have a first.
Second.
And we have a second. And we will call for the question.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Clements?
Yes. And next, we have our variance 2010-2, which is resolution 2011-03 for the variance. And this is for the variance of the site, the height going from 75 feet on the tower to 90 for
correct.
This location.
I would move to approve resolution number 2011-03.
I'll second.
Call for the question, please.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chairman Clements?
Yes. And the final item would be C, the conditional use permit number 4601, which is granting the condition to place it at this site location. Correct, Rob?
Correct.
Okay. Are we ready for some action?
I would move that we approve resolution number 2011-04.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you. Call for the question, please.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Clements?
Yes. Very much. Okay, do we have any other items for business?
The only thing we have for discussion is we had a general plan update workshop on Monday held at the community center. And we started to talk about the land use element. We introduced the draft land use element. The Planning Commission serves as committee members. Planning Commission, City Council together serve as committee members for the general plan update steering committee. We have another meeting scheduled for February 28th. And Rob has a flyer I'd like to hand out to you so we can make sure we get all of
which
them.
I left in the printer, so I will go grab them and
okay.
hand them right out to you.
We'll stand by.
And that is all we have unless Francis or Rob has anything else.
Okay, so you'll be right back with those. We'll adjourn in the meantime. Do we have any other items for discussion? Okay, yes.
David, is that general plan schedule and stuff up on the website yet?
I have not placed that on the website yet. That is something that I will make sure that I have done by the end of tomorrow.
And that's coming before us soon, right?
The general plan update itself, it is an ongoing item.
As we live and breathe.
Yes, a living, breathing document, that is for sure. Yes, we will continue to do workshops over the next several months. And as we continue to do the workshops, you will be seeing drafts of that coming forward. Okay. At the last workshop that we had this past Monday, we had the first draft of the introduction and the land use element. This next meeting, we'll have the first draft of the circulation element, and you'll see more and more as the workshops come on. We're looking to go to public hearing in, David, please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that it was July and August that we were looking at?
July for Planning Commission, August for City Council, and Fresno LAFCO in September. And that's fairly aggressive. We've got some issues that came up Monday night. The committee wants to talk quite a bit more about density. We want to make sure that what we're putting into that plan works for the community. So if need be, that's our tentative schedule now. We've been in this project for several years. If we wind up pushing things out a little bit more to accommodate that discussion, that's not a problem at all.
Okay.
One more quick question.
Yes.
Do you have any costs on what it would take to put a lot of that on a CD?
To put the general plan update when it's done? Or no, all the material?
Or so people could purchase it or distribute it?
That's something that we had discussed. I think the only real item that we had a fear of putting the digital items of drafts out there is that it might create confusion for several different documents. As we continue to go before it goes to public hearing, there, of course, will be some revisions, some changes.
I mean, somewhere before... say it goes through the Planning Commission stage. And the reason I'm saying that is that the county, a lot of times, well, on their ground project,
mm-hmm.
they have a CD of the plan as proposed so far, and they distribute
correct.
Those, they pass them out at the hearing.
When we get to that point, the point that you're referring to is when you get to that public hearing for the Planning Commission, that is the way that information is going to be
distributed. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When we get to a complete draft document that needs to be distributed for public review and agency review, it's going to go out in the form of a disc. We're not going to print 100 copies of the draft plan and send it out.
Councilmember Rapata said the other night, the county does provide those for free.
Well, when we distribute it, it will be distributed at no charge. It's our obligation to distribute the draft document for public agency review and make it available to the public.
Once you get the first one, it's pretty simple.
And the document looks better on digital anyways than it typically does printed.
Right. Well, so with that said, future business, next meeting is scheduled tentatively.
I went to the eye doctor today, but all I could see is I think that says February at the bottom.
Well, it does say February.
That's March 3rd, I think.
March 3rd.
And do we have business for March 3rd at this point?
Tentatively, we may be looking at a conditional use permit.
Okay. So we will assume we will meet on March 3rd.
Okay, very good. Okay. With that said, we'll adjourn.